pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here.
Here.
Mr. Loftner?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
I'll entertain a motion to move to executive session for matters of special education. Report number 8.
This is the Board of Education acceptance of the recommendations from the Committee on Special Education, Committee on Preschool Special Education, and the 504 Committee for meetings held on October 10th, 11th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of 2024. That having the recommendation of the Committee on Special Education, the Committee on Preschool Special Education, and the 504 Committee, the Board of Education of the Ogdensburg City School District does hereby accept the recommendations as presented this 18th day of November 2024.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the regular meeting minutes of the meeting held on October 7th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
I have none this evening.
Comments relative to the agenda? New business, report number 1.
This is our energy performance contract review presentation. I have members from Day Automation here this evening to update the Board of Education on a potential $4.1 million grant that the district can receive for retrofitting all of its lighting, interior and exterior, to LED, thus saving the district significant money. So, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Okay, so I'm for Day Automation. I just want to talk to you, like I said, about the energy performance contract. Myself, I'm Josh Ettinger. I'm one of the account executives here, and we have Chip Stemples. He works with you folks a lot, my own. Andy Picotti and Steve Hayslip. That's the whole team that kind of put this together for you folks. And so if you just wanted to go real quick, and please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them as we go. So we just want to tell you a little bit about Day Automation ourselves. You may be familiar, we do work with you folks, but there's about 200 people in our organization, 8 locations, one of which is about 5 minutes down the road. And we do everything from building automation to security, physical security, like cameras, card access, and the things that we want to talk about today is energy services, so energy performance contracting. Everything we do is on state contract, so that's another benefit to you folks as well. So just with you folks, I do want to thank you for the 25-year partnership that we have been working with you on. It's been very, very beneficial, I think, for both of us. We do work with all your security, cameras, card access, public address, and then we do your building control. And that's what Kevin alluded to today, is another way that we just help grow that controls effort throughout your building through an energy performance contract. So I'll tell you a little bit about what that is. And again, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate. It's essentially an alternative means of funding energy improvements. It's very similar to a capital project concept. It doesn't go against your debt limit. It's all funded through operational and energy savings. So essentially everything we do, like you mentioned, is involving energy savings like lighting, mechanical improvements, and building controls. It's different from a capital project, and there's no change orders. So if we tell you it's going to be $4 million, it's going to be that, and if we're wrong on that, that's what we have to deal with. And that's all state aid eligible too, which I'll get into a little bit as well. And there's also a ton of grants and incentives that can help fund that as well. So like you mentioned, we're at about $4.1 million based on our preliminary assessment, with about $230,000 of energy savings and operational savings, about a quarter of your energy being reduced. And that number is about $4 million worth of building aid that will come back from the state. and there's a cash flow. It's over 18 years. The project has to pay for itself over 18 years through the energy savings. There's a net positive cash flow of $3.4 million. So every year, the savings and the state aid has to either be zero or pay for the cost of the job. So it's not supposed to go against anything of the fund. And this is just another kind of graph to see how it works. So we take your current energy usage and we just essentially reduce that and then allocate those savings to pay for the capital improvements. On top of that, there's also building aid and as well as some grants that might be involved with that as well. So like as I mentioned, there's energy incentive programs, not just through your utility, but also through NYSERDA, and they kind of change almost monthly. So we keep our ground on a lot of that so we can capitalize on all that kind of free money or money that we're all already paying for, essentially. And then the big thing is how this is funded is either through a bond or a lease. And you can, a bond does not require voter approval. A bond does require voter approval, but a lease does not. And what we do and what we help a lot of districts with is voting for that extra 10%. So the project essentially would happen, and then you can, as a community, can vote for just extra 10% aid that you can get from the state. And so we've worked with schools. Lisbon is one of the examples, that's what you're seeing up there, to put together a flyer and mailers to show the benefits of this and how a yes vote will essentially give you your extra 10% aid. So it's actually, it's actually your state aid. If you go through a lease, you get 10% less. So you're just meeting your actual state aid, which is the 89% that you're at now. And then, I know I went through this pretty quickly, but you're essentially at a point right now, and this is a little bit of a busy slide, but the whole point is to first figure out what an energy performance contract would look for you, and that's where we kind of did a preliminary assessment to show it's about $4.1 million. And at this point, you're at the stage where you, if you want to move forward with that, you would issue an RFP, a request for proposals for energy services company like Dale Nation, other people to submit projects for essentially a proposal to do work with you, and then you would sign a letter of intent. And then at that point, essentially becomes almost similar to a capital project where you do the design and then you submit the state ed and you get state ed approval hopefully within 6 months to a year. Who knows what it will be in that time. And then I'll kind of go through a brief timeline of what we talked about or thought about is, you know, you issue the proposal sometime either in November, December, you select an energy services company in January, and then or earlier than that, and then you go through the detailed energy audit, probably in February, maybe done around March or April, and then you do the design with your architect, and that would be submitted to SCE roughly around maybe August, and so it'll fall right in line with that maybe phase three of your current capital project. So, and we would work very closely with your architect on that, so that we're not, you know, doing things that they're already planning, or maybe help try to pull some things out of what they're trying to do to maybe help, you know, free up some funding there. So I know I went through that very quickly, but please let me know if you have any questions.
I'd like hearing that you would be able to work with the architects, and I'm hoping also our main contractors if you
could
give you the seat of bed.
Yep.
And because we have quite a capital project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are a few times you really need to cut base.
And this will go in conjunction with the capital project, so they're not going to tear down a ceiling, put it back up, and then 6 months later tear the ceiling down again to put new lighting in. They're gonna coordinate that with what we're currently doing.
Yeah, we probably be involved in a lot of your OACM meetings or even your current capital projects. I know Chip is already probably being involved with a lot of them already, so it'll just be kind of an easy transition. We'll do that. It'll just be another thing that we coordinate. And then we work with your architects on it, so it's pretty seamless. A lot of great things with the capital project because there's a lot of, you know, fluidity where we can help that out, get the capital project out, and again, hopefully improve on all the things we're doing already.
So what would you go for a quote for the 10%?
So the first step would be an RFP to determine, if the board gives me the directive tonight, I would go out and send an RFP by hopefully tomorrow or Wednesday to get that out there to select the successful crew. Hopefully it's Day Automation. We've been working with them. And then at that point in time, once they're selected, they'll go through a more specific timeline of vote. When did you approximate a vote?
I think we said probably about May, give or take. So you can do a couple of those, like when you like book two. But yeah, and we would issue these kind of handouts. It would be a mail or in a flyer that we would show and try to promote that, so everybody knows that they're not voting for the project. The project is going to happen regardless. It's just you're voting for the extra 10%. Once the community understands that, it's usually very easy to get that support, because it's just the extra 10% for aid, and you can show them exactly what that equates to over the years.
I like the idea of cost savings. This is something that we've been talking about from a teacher's perspective. Fluorescent lights are horrible in classrooms, and teachers are continuously finding alternative ways to change the lighting in their classrooms because, that's what students need. So, looking at the LED, have you had conversations about the difference between fluorescent and LED lighting and how that impacts the classroom?
We don't usually lead with that, but it certainly is something that we mentioned, because it's true, especially even like when I know we put in LEDs sometimes, it's usually, wow, this is like really, really bright, and we'll be able to like think of too, like that's a whole other thing that you can use that out too. So, but it does help significantly.
Yeah, definitely.
There's the like shutter effect that happens in a lot of the lights.
Classroom setting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just trying to dim the lights a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes that's a good thing.
I'm surprised to hear that day automation has been working with the district for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the fact that day automation is in Commerce Park and has been there, I don't know for how long.
About 7 years, I think.
You may not.
Yeah.
That's very close.
Would this just be for lighting?
No, so yeah, I can go back to...
So this could be for security purposes, access to areas?
Wouldn't be security, but
be... The scope of work is really only anything that uses
energy.
So like, let's say you have a failing hot water heater or the controls, the building controls, that's what we would do. Yeah, but so this is just kind of our preliminary. We'll do like a full assessment of essentially everything in complete coordination with your capital project. So we're not going to be like, let's look at this boiler and we're going to remove that in phase two or something like that. So we'll make sure that it's all... And right now, the way we kind of looked at it, it would be LED lighting throughout the district, interior and exterior, and then it would be building controls, essentially getting it fully over to the day automation platform, and then we would look at, see, because there's some mechanical measures that we would do that aren't addressed in the capital project that make the most sense, and try to work with your architects and engineers to figure out where to get the most savings from, and also where the most biggest need is that isn't being addressed in the capital project.
And we have quite a few areas in the district already that have LED lights, most of them being in the exterior of the building.
Anybody else?
If you have any questions afterwards, just please call or email or anything. I'm more than happy to help you to try to add clarity to it, because I know I went through it pretty quickly.
So I will submit the RFP to the news media tomorrow or Wednesday. On behalf of the district and see where we fall.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sheldon. This is the co-curricular activities treasury report. No action necessary. Discussion only. Yeah, that's both the junior and the senior into one account. So it's both clubs. Significant balance that we're taking a look at this year. They go on a trip to New York, I believe, around Memorial Day. So when we get a better idea of expenses that are going out this year, then we might be able to limit the amount of fundraising that organization does in the following school year.
And she plans on doing like a trip to like a hockey game or something.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, so they do, and I think the hockey, they did a baseball or lacrosse game 1 year down to Syracuse. So they do a couple trips, some in the spring of the year, some in the winter of the year. But we'll get a better handle on the expenses out to the revenue in and see where they land.
So. I was just wondering if we should still do all the fundraising with a balance.
It depends on how much they spend. So if they spend $45,000 this year, then yes, we're going to need to fundraise. But I doubt it's going to be that amount.
Okay.
So we might be able to limit that.
Thank you. Well, I think to the point that we had the other day that we were talking about the bus, I think when we are fundraising, there should be a reason for it or something that is earmarked. Now, I know there's an overarching in some areas, but I think that takes out some of that.
Well, it gets approved by, there's a process. So any monies that are spent out of these funds need to be approved by a student rep, Mr. Henry, and the advisor of that organization as well. So it's a three-step process. There can be some policies related to certain expenditures. Others are really case-by-case organization-based, but absolutely. Yep, you're not wrong with that. District. Yep.
I know we got trouble.
Yep. Yep. We've got the district. Roughly, Mr. Mitchell, how much this year?
Taking in about $3,600.
So that's going to go right back to athletics. So.
Will that carry over into winter sports?
We're working on that plan.
And is there a reason that we're only doing football? Is that just because of volunteers? Or we didn't do it for soccer.
Yeah, it's the amount of money in versus the amount of money out. There's not enough revenue being generated for a soccer game as opposed to a football game. So I mean, we certainly can look at it, but it was just a matter of quickly finding people to work, Mr. Mitchell's staff to work that. We weren't going to be able to get them for every soccer game, so we might be able to do the big games next year for soccer and see.
Would you need staff to do it, or couldn't have volunteers do it?
I could have volunteers. I'm sure Mr. Mitchell would take a few volunteers because we had very few staff that were willing to do it. Certainly. Certainly.
That was one of those questions
certainly.
That was asked.
Certainly. Okay. Volunteers are absolutely there. Yeah, yeah.
I know back in the last couple of years, the athletic teams would work them, and at the end of the year, Mr. Tebow would, whatever profit he made all year, would give every team that worked the concession X amount of dollars.
Yeah. We could do that too. We can go back to that practice where if whatever team did it, the monies generated on that evening went back to that specific team.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. This is the Internal Claims Auditor Quarterly Report. Again, no action necessary, discussion only. This is the first read of Augsburg City School District Policies number 2000, 2100, 2120.1, 2020.2, 2121, 2150, 2160, 2210, 2220, 2230, and 2245. Again, first read, no action, just discussion. This is sports mergers for the 24-25 school year with Hammond Central School District. Winter modified cheer, spring modified spring track. That having the approval of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education, the Augsburg City School District, does hereby approve the sports merger with the Hammond Central School District for modified cheer, boys and girls modified spring track for the 24-25 school year on this 18th day of November 2024.
Is there a recommended action?
This is the 2023-2024 New York State ELA Math and Science Assessment Results for our grades 3 through 8 in their New York State testing. I made a bigger copy for you so that you can see it a little better. And then also, I don't know if you want to pass this down. Sure. You can see that better as well. I'll just go through it quickly. First thing that you'll notice are rankings. So what the BOCES will put this together for us, and these are proficiency standings. They indicate percent proficient on the test, and then they compare that to districts throughout our BOCES region. question. So this kind of gives you a visual, and you can see we're kind of right here in the middle of the pack. Our scores on the 3 through 8 were, in general, a little lower than last year, but we'll take a look at that more closely. But this kind of also gives you an idea of cohorts, and those cohorts maybe that struggled a little more or had students with more intense services. The rankings in the SLVOCs overall, you'll see Ogdensburg City School District was 8th in the county with an average ranking of 9.5. So that gets a little confusing, but with this 9.5 average, that puts us in the position of being 8. For math, we were 11th. Science, this was the first year of the new assessment, and our fifth graders knocked it out in the park, second in the county, really happy about that. Our combined rank with eighth grade is 9th, but our eighth grade has some work to do there. And then overall in the whole county, our combined rating rank is 10. So kind of in the middle of the pack. Certainly nothing to hang our heads about. This is a historical perspective that I wanted to just kind of show the trend for each year. And I do want to preface some of these with knowing these cohorts of students and knowing their makeup. We have a lot of students who require extra services in third grade this year, a much higher percentage than the other grade level. So you're going to see a little bit of a dip in our third grade scores. Shouting. And then beneath that, you can see how they fleshed out level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, if you're interested in that. There is no level 5 on the 3 through 8 assessments. That's for regions, so you can ignore that. And this gives you other information on how many students tested as well. Our 4th grade did a little better this year. And one thing I wanted you to pay attention to is these incremental the x-axis or the y-axis?
Oh, that would be the y.
Okay, the y-axis is a little different. You'll see that those numbers break down a little differently. But right about a little above where we were last year with our 4th grade ELA, 5th grade ELA, we saw a little bounce up, which was nice to see. But we're still in the 30-40 proficiency range almost across the board. 6th grade ELA, this again was a cohort that we did a lot of work with. So I wasn't surprised to see this at all. It's not that the instructional staff did anything different than they had done the year before. It really was due to a lot of high absenteeism in this cohort. So we see that reflected there. 7th grade looks really good in ELA. 8th grade ELA, a little bit of a dip, but not anything to be worried about. Now we'll move into math proficiencies. Our 3rd grade, 42% proficient. 4th grade, 43% proficient. 5th grade, 33%. And 6th grade, 44. Again, you see that 6th grade cohort dropped quite a bit from the year before. 7th grade math, 59%, which was a really good indicator of some really strong math students. 8th grade, 45%. And then science, we don't have historical data because the assessment was so different last year, and it was the first year of giving it to 5th grade rather than 4th grade, but our 5th graders did well. We have some work to do in 8th grade, and I attribute a lot of that to the fact that those students, COVID hit them hard in those intermediate school years where they're learning a lot of that science vocabulary, so I think we'll see some growth here with the second implementation of that assessment. So the last document, and I don't know if I've
got it. Yep, we got it.
this just kind of gives you an overall everything we just talked about, but it also gives you an idea of how we compare to the BOCES average and how we compare to the RIC average proficiency. So we're not, it looks like a lot of red, but in most cases, we're only a couple of percentage points above or below on this assessment.
So we're implementing a new reading program. Is that correct?
What?
In the elementary grades? Did we change reading programs or no?
We've put a lot of the science of reading stuff
right.
in our primary grades.
Yeah.
And seen some good data
yeah.
from that. But we did this year, we just started a new math program. So we'll see how, I always expect a dip when you take on a new program just because teachers are finding their way through it. It's, you know, it's different. And so I won't be surprised to see that, but I think in the long run, we'll see some good work on that. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Report number 7.
This is the 2024-2025 property tax collections. No action necessary, information and discussion only.
Questions? Report number 8.
This is the 2025-2026 budget development calendar. The having the approval of the superintendent of schools, the budget development calendar for the 2025-2026 school year is hereby approved by the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District this 18th day of November 2024.
Is there a recommended action?
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mrs. Tosani?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Loughlin?
Aye.
Board number 9.
This is acceptance of donation. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools that the donation made to Augsburg City School District be accepted for the 2024-2025 school year on this 18th day of November 2024.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mrs. Tosani?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Loughlin?
Aye.
Number 10.
This is a resolution to approve budget transfers. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education, the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve the budget transfers as per the attached request for budgetary transfers on this 18th day of November 2024.
Is there a recommended action?
Include being arrested and sent to probation, 5 days school suspension, missed 13 varsity lacrosse games, summer lacrosse team would not allow him to play, minor hockey team made him an affiliate, attended counseling in Watertown until released and was recommended to return to normal activities, went through a psychological evaluation required by the school and was recommended to return to normal activities, and most importantly, had to deal with depression, isolation, and harassment from grown adults that were never punished for harassing a 15-year-old kid at the time. this has been blown way out of proportion while being headlined on news stations. Everybody thought that he'd single-handedly punish him. It is time to move forward, and what Jack needs the most is his teammates, which is one of the biggest parts of the healing process for the situation. He should be allowed to come back and participate in hockey games and practices and continue with other sports. He needs to be with his friends and teammates going forward, participating in normal activities. I mean, the schools are for kids, right? Allowing him to come back and being supported by everybody, just like we have here in the audience, at a point in time you really have to take into consideration well, being out of sports you love due to your mental aspect. If you keep holding this against him, his suspension will get to over 500 days, which is very harmful for a 16-year-old kid's mental health. I know last year when I was faced with an injury that kept me out of sports for a whole year, a sport that I love, it took a huge toll on my mental aspect and made me feel alone and depressed. I do not wish that feeling for anybody. It is a feeling that no adult can feel for us and would never understand. Not only that, but you're taking away a 16-year-old kid's childhood. These are years you'll never get back over one incident that is in the past, and he has been faced with everything thrown at him. What would the school really want for him? To be isolated, to continue to punish him over something completely in the past, or to get his life back and be surrounded by his teammates? This winter, our hockey team has a special opportunity with a great group of kids that we hope to have Jack added to. If you do not let this happen, how do you think this individual will feel if he went on to do something they could not be a part of in his high school years? We can limit him from playing in the two Malone hockey games to avoid distractions, but now it's time to move forward and let him live his life again and get another chance. How do you think his mental, emotional, and physical health is after he has done so much to try and make up for his mistakes and has got nothing back for it? I know he has learned a lot from this and is waiting for a deserved second chance. He has my full support and all of our team's support, as you can see in the attendance. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Austin Darnell. I, just like everyone else here in the crowd for this varsity accident, have been a lifelong teammate and friend of Jack Riley. We all here acknowledge his mistake. It was sickening, cruel, and disheartening, and we are not here to defend him. I would like to talk about what he's been through as part of his punishment. He's been bullied by thousands of mostly grown adults on the internet. He's been posted on Facebook and Instagram, including a page with a following of 128,000 people. He's been posted on 7 News. He's missed his lacrosse and soccer season, kicked off his summer lacrosse team, had to miss hockey tournaments throughout the spring and summer. Not only has this been dealt with our school, but our criminal justice system as well. Jack was arrested for his actions and forced to attend counseling sessions. At what point is enough going to be enough? How are we helping him change for the better? I promise not letting him participate in sports will not help him and only make things worse. Jack has been able to affiliate for the St. Lawrence Seal U18 hockey team, which is a very competitive team. He's been participating in games on the occasion and still participates in gym class every day. This has shown he can actively participate in competitive environments. What good is a punishment if someone cannot show how they have changed? At what point are we going to give him a second chance? At what point do we rehabilitate instead of punish? I, just like everyone here in this RCI team, would love him to participate in at least practice. That's why we are here. We are comfortable with him, and we would love for him to be here with us. It's disheartening for the seniors and everyone to have to miss this opportunity, as this may be our last year we ever are together in this town. Thank you.
Good evening. Lauren Morley, Jack's mother, former Augsburg City District employee and coach. I'm here to express my heartfelt thank you to these young gentlemen who just spoke on my son's behalf. Their support of Jack is admirable and inspiring. The past 7 months have been some of the worst of my 46 years, and certainly nothing I would have wanted for my 15-year-old, now 16-year-old, to experience. I learned that the team might be coming this evening a few weeks ago, and to be honest, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. To my knowledge, you were provided with a letter at the end of July through Mr. Kendall, which expressed our request for an appeal of Jack's punishment. When that was denied, we followed up with a request to have Jack be able to practice with his peers and former teammates for soccer at the end of August. That was also denied. I have respected the process and provided time for consequences to be served over the past 7 months. But during this time, I have watched my son, who has always been active, a three-sport athlete for as long as I can remember, deteriorate emotionally, physically, mentally, and socially. While his peers have been playing together during this time, he has been at home trying to find purpose without athletics. He has tried to fill this void with other school activities, Spanish club, Key club, and student council. But as many of you may imagine, these things do not compare to two-hour practices 5 to 6 days a week. The experiences you have on the field or on the bus, perhaps watching game footage at a teammate's house, grabbing a bite to eat after practice, going to support each other and other teams because that was the plan that was shared in the locker room or on the team chat. These opportunities simply aren't there. Jack has missed this connection with his friends and teammates. This is all he has known throughout his life. Boys, I'm so appreciative of your courage. Their courage is the driving force for me to come before you tonight after 7 months. I know I would have regretted in my mind and heart if I didn't come myself and also request face-to-face for your reconsideration of the punishment that has been given to Jack. A punishment that you have the ability to reevaluate as the Ogdensburg City School District Board of Education and change. I hope that the nine of you, along with Mr. Kendall, can find this same courage to do what is right for one of your students, to help this student demonstrate how good he is, how great he is in your classrooms and as a leader of the junior class. He was a leader as the class president of the freshman and sophomore class when he was in those years. To allow him back on the ice with his peers playing hockey and allow him the opportunity to show that he is the same great person on the ice that he is in your classrooms, gymnasiums and PE class, hallways and cafeteria. A respectful, caring, compassionate, hardworking, and right young man. Thank you for your time.
Anyone else?
I'm Jack Morley. I've talked with numerous counselors. I've dealt with slander from people I've never met. I've never known. I've been to therapy. And I've smiled through being the butt of more jokes than I can count. I've tried my best to be better, to be a better student and a better person, as well as a better athlete. And I don't want to be defined by the mistake I made. Hockey is the biggest part of my life. I've played it ever since I was a kid. I've been playing it year-round for 3 years now. And this team, this year's season especially, means more to me than anybody here knows. I promise to everyone here that I will never make such an egregious mistake ever again. And all I want is to be able to have that second chance and be able to play with my friends. Thank you for your time.
First of all, I'd just like to commend the group of kids here tonight, student athletes that came and put on their presentation in support of one of their fellow students and teammates. Second of all, Mr. Kendall, could you bring in the next meeting or two a policy or some guidelines that the board might look at in relation to athletic teams using coach buses? I think we're all over the place on that, and I think there's some good to it, and I think if we, look at it and give you some suggestions that what the board feels, and we can come up with a policy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Board members, administration.
I also want to commend the team for sticking together. I want to commend Jack for coming up in front of your classmates, in front of the board. Not easy to do, not easy to admit what you admitted tonight. And thank you to Mrs. Morley as well. Very much appreciate the support on that. I will bring to the board that policy, three reads. We'll get three reads on the books for the coach bus piece. I want to congratulate two of our state-bound teams this year. One is still going. Our football team will play this Friday night at Potsdam against Glens Falls. And I also want to commend our girls volleyball team who made it to a state play in El Sable Valley in winning the Section 10 title. I want to congratulate Mr. Putman on earning tenure. Thank you for being here tonight. Congratulations. As well, the next Board of Education meeting is Monday, December 16th, 2024, 6 p.m. OFA Cafeteria B.
I entertain a motion to executive session. All in favor?